Turn with me, please, to John's Gospel in chapter 9 for an expression. John's Gospel in chapter 9. I'll read verse 24 and 25. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now turn to Romans, please, on chapter 6. Verse number 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, give your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One more verse, that will suffice for the reading in chapter 8 of Romans. Verse number 35, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I trust God will help us to conclude the meeting with what we have heard. I just want to add a little appendix to that. When Robert was in the hospital and people were flocking to see him with their sympathies, as he is a good friend of mine since 1963, we were very closely linked. But I phoned him. Rather than go to see him, I thought maybe at that time, wait a few weeks. He got on the phone and he said these words. He said, Albert, if God brings me through this, I will speak about hell in a way that I never did before. And I can attest to that because I preached with him since. And I hope that the remarkable rescue that he had physically will turn tonight to be a rescue spiritually for someone in this meeting not saved. Now what's on my mind tonight very simply is to tell, which is very simple. I mean, what I could do tonight, I could do it in a very brief minute. I could tell you how, when and where God saved me. And I believe everyone could do that. And fact is, when we first told our conversion, probably we stammered through. And we thought we would never preach again. But since that, we add tails to it, and we add heads to it, and we make it large. Now, I don't want anyone in this meeting, whether in the gallery or down to the back of the hall, to think that I am going to maximize my conversion. And I would like to be guided of the Holy Spirit to make it clear and plain that no person should ever take a public platform in gospel preaching that hasn't had a time when, a place where, and a manner how God saved them. I would sum it up like this, that every conversion has three things. It's this. A transaction has taken place, never to be forgotten. A transformation has taken place that remains for time and eternity. And a triumph has taken place where a firebrand has been plucked from the jaws of hell. And I hope tonight, as I am going to relate a little of my conversion, that you'll go over very quickly. Has there been a transaction in your life? When you look back to whether it's a boy of 9 or someone of 20 or 40 or 50 years of age, when you could say, the debt is all settled, my soul is saved. And when, my friend, a new life started, it has begun with, in my soul, to last, while endless ages roll. We're not talking about a passing fancy, or something fictional, my friend. We're talking about facts. That every man, whether he's a Catholic or a Protestant, or whether he's a Church of England or a Church of Scotland, or whether he's a Baptist or a Gospel Hope, they need to be born again. They need a time when, a place where, and a manner how God saved them. And I'm glad tonight, in relating my conversion, it's just like yesterday. That's why conversions are easy to tell. I find preaching sometimes hard to get a message, but generally speaking, conversions flow because you were there when it happened. And you're only relating an incident in life when God brought you from darkness to light, from the broad road to the narrow, from hell to heaven. My friend, that's what conversion's all about. See, when I'm looking at my conversion tonight, I want to do it humbly. By the help of the Spirit of God. God forbid that we should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I took up the 3 scriptures just to tell you, my friend, there's much I don't know. And you can put me in the corner after the meeting and ask me and pepper me with questions. And if I was honest with you, and I would like to be honest and say, I'm sorry, I've no answer. But there's one thing, if you ask me, am I going to heaven? I can tell you honestly, one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. That's definite. That's definite. I read the other scripture to indicate this. What fruit have we in those things we're offering our day? I will touch a few things tonight. I have to. But I try to leap over things that are not conducive for your mind. And not helpful to your thinking. Unless someone in this meeting brought up in a Christian home might say, if he can off with it, I'll get off with it. I don't want to leave that impression. Thirdly, I want to end with a great truth. Of Romans chapter 6 and those words that now have been made free from sin. You see, that's what our preaching's all about, and that's what conversion's all about. It's not to do with joining a church or bowing to a priest or a bishop or a pope or a cardinal or someone in a gospel hall, an elder, or anything of that nature, friend. Write that out of your mind. These are last meetings. We want to get down with the tower. Hits the road. I may never speak to you again. I shake hands tonight. I can tell you some who give me your peace. We'll love you for the love of Christ. But my friend, you die and your sins will be lost.
Lost forever. Lost forever.
I want to close with this point. We're more than conquerors to end the love. We're not just in the winning side. The winner's home. We're just following after. Wonderful to be saved. Are you saved tonight? Have I stopped tonight and say, hey, come up here and tell it. Would you come up?
Sure you would.
I'm not going to let you, but.
And if I asked Robert again, could you, he would do the same.
But I want to tell you this. In my conversion, I have to go back a little. See, friends, there are wheels within wheels. There are links and chains. And sometimes we can't discern them till afterwards. And in reflection, we can see those links. God touched me here. God touched me there. And this brother spoke to me that time. A tract was in my hand by maybe some sister in Christ who was burdened for me. And someone said, I'm praying for you. All were links in the chain that brought us to Christ. My father got saved as a boy of 17. Listen, he only heard one gospel meeting, only heard one gospel preach. Coming 18 years of age, he belonged to a lodge, careless, reckless, heedless. My father never told me in all his life that he ever touched beer. But someone else told me he was a drunkard. He never told me that. He's a wise father. He heard a man preach one night. And that man preached with power, heaven and hell, Christ to the world. Turn from your sin. Come to Christ. And my father went to his comrades. That same night he met them and he said, boys, if what I heard tonight is true, that I'm a sinner going to hell, I want to do something about it now. He didn't know where to go. He was told about a man living up at the side of the mountain. And he was called a fanatic. Did you ever hear of those people? A fanatic. A religious fanatic. It didn't strike much with my dad, only if he's religious, he might be able to help me. And he walked that night up to a little small house on the side of the hill, and he knocked the door. And out come an old gentleman, some might know the name here, some might not know. His name was Angus Gray. A very illiterate man. And my father met him at the door, and he said, sir, I have discovered tonight that I'm going to hell. In my sins, would you have any help for me? And Angus Graham said, come right in. He sat down at an old open hearth fire, turf burning. 10 o'clock at night, a sinking soul, heard at once, disturbed the living, and wanted Christ. Many times have you heard. Some of you, my friend, I almost am afraid to say it, but it's all analyzed. You're going to miss it. You held breath. Ask Angus Graham, a wise soul winner. He didn't do any pressure work. He just told him the story, the plan. Opened the Bible, read the scriptures. My father come to a point in that conversation when he said to Angus Graham, he said, you know, Mr. Graham, I can see that for everybody. But how can I get in on it? The old gentleman flipped the page to John 5:24. He said, read that, Richard. My father read it as a boy, having heard the gospel only once. He read, he that heareth my word, believeth God that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. And as he read it, he looked at the old gentleman, he said, I have it. And Angus, wise enough, said to him, how do you know? God sent it. And he thanked him right there and rejoiced for 71 years before God put him to glory. My mother was different. My mother never seen a pint of beer in the house. She never saw anyone smoke, probably. Lived in a little place called Chillis,
I have been there just visiting, where she was brought up. They used to come, I went there as a boy to to her people, and we used to get on the old horse tram, and my grandfather met us with a pony and a little trap behind us. We thought we were living in the third heaven, chatting along there in the little trap. And my mother said as a girl of 16, Annie Johnson, and as she sat there at that open heart, trouble about her soul, never been inside a dance hall, never my friend saw any of the curse, heard any of the curses and swear words that we hear rampant in our world. What's wrong with her? What has she done? God says all of things. And at 16 years of old, she trembled about her sin before God. Her parents passed her at 12 o'clock that night on the way to the bedroom, and they said, Annie, we'll be praying for you. And my mother loved to tell it. She loved to tell it. I loved to tell it too. She said, you know, at 12 o'clock, just shortly after it struck 12, she said, I started to think, am I ever going to be saved? I'm in the dark. I don't know how to get this settled. My sins forgiven. Peace with God to be sure of heaven. And it just struck her like this, very simply. Annie, isn't God satisfied with Christ? And how would I know that he's satisfied? And it just come to when God raised Christ from the dead, so God satisfies. And just on top of that thought that come into her mind, another one come. Well, Annie, are you satisfied? But she says, Lord, I am. I'm satisfied with what he did for me. And she no sooner said that than the verse of the hymn sprang into her mind. Christ bore on the tree the dread sentence for me. And God both the surety and the sinner go free. Hallelujah. God said that. So those two met and married. And they had 7 children. I was the 4th dad. We were brought up, now let me tell you this, we were brought up with a Bible, Sunday school, gospel meetings. I had prizes on the wall for quoting scriptures. I had Bibles given for Sunday school prizes for quoting the whole of John 1. And we used to have the preachers stay with us. I hated that. I was always afraid of looking at you and saying, you're saved yet. Maybe. And of course, I used to hide, and I would go upstairs and hide me, sometimes even get into the big closet. And then it comes supper time, Albert, come down. We're waiting for you. And then some of those dear preachers, I don't want to make this, I want to make it solemn, but it's true, some of those preachers would put their hand in your head, nice to see you, son. Can you quote me John 3:16? And me, my little proud streak got up the back here. Yes, I can. And I just quoted it just right off. Can you quote Isaiah 53? Yes, sir. Why, I could just quote it. I'm getting into the picture. And then when you'd all that done, they were hooked in their pocket for about 5 minutes, and they pulled out an old candy and been there for a month. And they said, that's your prize. Don't do that today. It must be a $5 bill. But then, I'll tell you, I was glad of a candle right there. Yeah. My mother was saved and brought, and my father joined together, 7 children. I can remember in those days, I can remember so clearly, my sister Ruth getting saved. I can remember my brother Bruce getting saved. I can remember my sister Evelyn getting saved. 1, 2, 3. And I want to tell you, in our home, we had very little. You know, we'll go back now. I'm 62 almost. And you go back 55 years, I tell you, the carpets weren't too thick. And the old cloth wasn't true. It was very shiny. The old blocks had gone off the old imprints.
And the stairs were very creaky.
But there's one thing I learned under that roof. I've got a mother that loves my soul.
And I've got a father
that one ambition he has, and his children will all be saved. And when my mother marched us into the hall as my father preached, when he marched us into the hall, I can remember it yet because I was a little sneaky.
Sorry, I'm telling on myself.
And I would have liked to have slipped in at the back, you know. And I thought I was right in and I was going to plant myself there with all the rest. And the next thing, mother looks. You know, when she did that, you know, you didn't do that.
You bed or?
There's two places we could sit with my pearls. Either beside them or in front of them. That was it. Yeah. And as we sat there, I can see many a time when a man was preaching on hell or judgment. That's not the first time I caught tears streaming down my mother's cheeks. She thought of all those children sitting there.
And I'll tell you more than that. When one got saved and brought the news, and I was there when someone got saved in the house, Bruce got saved there. And I'll never forget, when we got down to that table, you just felt the atmosphere of heaven.
But think of it, we're only playing church here, really, when I think of it. You know, getting God's salvation is worth more than pouring $20 billion into the hip pocket if you can get it in. Getting God's salvation is of pure gold. A soul saved and plucked
from hell, saved for heaven.
I was brought up under that, and I'm going to give you a chunk in my life. And I'm not going to tell you what happened in that chunk in my life.
Only a few things.
I have to tell you sadly, I have to tell you honestly, and I have to tell you compassionately. There was a chunk in my life of 5 years when I never had the Bible in my hand. There was a chunk in my life when I never listened to the gospel. 5 years. There was a chunk in my life that I hit the thing off. I'm not an injured. I was in every form of evil. That's all I'm saying. But I want to say this time. Some nights I didn't know how I got home. Some nights I was carried home. But I had a mother that never turned me out of home. She's in heaven today. And I thank God even yet. I thank God today that over my conversion for a God-fearing but a compassionate mother. Oh yes, I heard some of these hardcores tell you, if you have a nice child, they take you out. You know what I say to them? I'm glad I wouldn't do that. I've come home and sat on a cold step at 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning. Nothing in my pockets. Empty. And I can hear, yes, the top window open. In the upper bedroom.
And I can hear a voice yet say, "Is that you, son?" And I say, "Yes, Mom. Let me in."
That's just like yesterday, reliving it. As you come down the stairs, the wooden stairs, and open the door, and put her two arms under my armpits,
and held me over the threshold of the door and took me up to the bedroom. To him.
I turned to me.
And I can hear you. Oh God, don't let him get down to hell.
That was more to me than all the preaching I heard.
I fought against it. But I often say in my conversion, the bright star in my life, the bright star was a mother's prayers, and a mother's kindness, and a mother's heart, and a mother's love. And I'm not maximizing that, I'm telling you the truth. The first time she saw me in a place that I'm not going to mention tonight, the first time she saw me there, she was standing outside it with her oldest daughter, Ruth. And when I come out of that place, I thought I was having a big night, great. She looked at me onto the gas lamp. She said, "Son, I can't go to bed until you're home." And then she said on top of that, something that was like a dagger in my soul, she said, "You know, Albert, son, I didn't bring you up for this type of thing. I brought you up just as you say." I had 5 years of absolute rebellion against God. I have to admit it honestly. And hatred in my bosom burning, bitterness in my soul. I wanted to live my own life. I didn't want anyone to disturb me. I wanted to live it up. I wanted to enjoy and suck as much out of the orange as I could. But I learned, my friend, one solemn thing I learned in those 5 years. You know what I learned? I learned it well. There's nothing in this world can satisfy the human heart but Christ. There's nothing, my friend, that can give peace and power over sin but Christ. I want to bring you to when God saved me.
I'm skipping over that. That's what I'm trying to do. What fruit had I those things brought in my
life? You know, everybody makes a choice. Life's made up of choices. And don't you tell me, and I don't like it, because I've learned a lot. I don't like this, you know. Somebody goes the wrong path, and someone takes the wrong course,
and someone goes into sin, and someone takes the drugs, and someone puts the needle in, and someone goes to the alcohol, and someone goes to the dancer, someone goes to some of these terrible haunts of sin, and the first thing they say, "Well, he brought me there."
You know something? You made the choice. It's you that made the choice.
Don't pass the buck. Face it tonight, it's your choice. You take that path, you've chosen that path. That's what the broad road's all about. Why does the gate broad as the way that leads to destruction? Many there be that go in there after, made that deliberate choice. This is what I want. And the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's why there's suicides. And that's why, friend, in our world, we were down there, hissing, groaning, "I haven't been down. This is the first time, God. I felt like getting out of the car. I haven't got the power to do it. And I love above the tracks and go to those derelicts." Broken lives, shattered lives. Driven, my friend, by a power that has shackled them. Choice. That's the choice I made, my pop.
I want to point out secondly, crisis. Crisis.
You know, if God doesn't step into our life somewhere, somehow,
friend, we'll never make it to heaven. I hope tonight in this meeting, God will step into the arena of your life. He did with mine.
As I said, I hadn't a Bible, I hadn't been to gospel meetings. I could qualify that by saying I wasn't one, but it wasn't in a gospel hall, it was in an orange hall where a man was telling a testimony and preaching the gospel, knowing there's some here. That's the only time.
But you know, when it come to January 56, or December 56 of Christmas,
Instead of me out gallivanting with the rest and traveling the road down to ruin and chaos, I was in a little house in the city of Armagh, in a little room. God planned it. My grandmother was in it. In those times in Ireland, they put the coffin in the house. They had a little service in there. And people went in and paid the respects, and you went into that little room where the casket was placed, probably in two chairs or wherever, and sat there. And I remember standing outside. I didn't want to go in. Tell you all the truth. I thought, well, I don't need to go in there. And my mother did say to me, she said, Albert, you better go in. While the casket's open. So I went in, and there was no one there, just myself. Just myself. Just like this. And I did something. I've only done it about twice afterwards. But it's the first time I ever done it. I don't know what made me do it, but I put my hand on her forehead. It was my grandmother, I'd never done that before. I never felt a cold body. Didn't know how it was cold or warm, but that time I discovered it's charming, it's cold, and it's stiff. I threw it back a minute, and then I looked across at her chest, and there was an open knife on it. And there was a verse on her leg that read. And I looked at that text, and the first thing just come to me, yes, Grammy's in heaven. That's how she could see it. And then suddenly, just like a narrow, no literal voice, but just in my conscience, this is what come before me, in tremendous power. Albert, if that was your body, your soul would be in heaven. My friend, that was as real as ever happened yet. I came face to face with eternity in that little room over an open coffin. And I remember biting my lip. I didn't want to break, and I bit my lip, and I come out, and we're having a little service. Mr. Eddie Allen, Mr. McShane were there. Mr. Eddie Allen was the one that preached, and as he had a sermon there, a little message. I don't know what he spoke or anything about it. Don't even ask me. But my friend, I remember standing there and saying within myself, God's trying to reach you. It's time you halted. It's time you thought. It's time you turned. It's time you were seeking. You know, from 56th of Christmas until January the 27th, there was a burdened young man. And if you had asked me all those days that passed what I wanted most, I would have told you this. I want to be saved. Now, I want to ask you kindly tonight, right in the back of the hall, right on the balcony there, some of you folks that I can hardly just face eyeball to eyeball, but listen, friend, what do you want most? What are you thinking of most tonight in this meeting? What do you desire? Priority in your life? Is it Christ? Is it the world? Is it sin and pleasure? Or is it heaven? My friend, I hope God will come among us at the close of the meetings, apart from conversions, and touch your heart to reality. Don't, my friend, fritter your life away and play fast and loose games with God. It never pays. And I come out of that room and I went home, and instead of it with the boys, I was in my bedroom on my knees. But I didn't get saved then. I'm just telling you, it exactly happened. When Christmas passed and the end of the year come of January 56, or December 56, and the new year was coming in, that was a big day for us. Boys, there's about 12 of us, and we lifted up as you know what to do. I'll never forget when those boys come to the door in the Doak Road, 20 Doak Road, and my mother appeared at the door. She said, can I help you? She said, is Albert in? And she, you know, she wouldn't tell a lie. No, she wouldn't tell a lie.
should have said since, I would love to have said, no, he's not there. But I was there. So I went out with the boys that owed you a night, and I'm going to tell you this, please, I hate to tell you, oh, this is my story. And as I went in the chain, I went out with the boys that night, and we lifted up, and up, you know, went to the pub, and we lifted up, and all the rest of it. Sing out the old year, and dance in the new year. But as I got to Carrickfergus, 5 miles from where I lived, I was going across the street. This is a strange thing, but God was in it. And there was a policeman standing there. And I went toward the policeman as I staggered across, and I looked at him, and he says, where are you going? I says, I'm going to the dance. I said, do you know that you and I are going to hell? But we're not born again, that's what we're going to do. He looked at me, and then finally, I think he could have nearly shoot me. He said to me, where do you come from? I said, I come from White House. He said, what does your dad do? I said, my father. He said, you're a disgrace. He said, you've got a father like that, and you've got a mother, and you're like this. And before I left, I went straight as up, crush of the past. I said, sir, just let me tell you this. There's one thing I want to know. I want to know I'm being met. I certainly don't want to go to hell. But I can hear both going there when I do. You know why I tell you that? That's nothing to do with me. Please don't even think of it. But 2 weeks afterwards, before I even got to this, that policeman walked into a brother from the meeting in Grand Gorman, who had a dry goods store in Carrickfergus. And he looked across and said to Robert, he said, you know, I got God for me. He said to me, yeah. He said, you did? He said, how did it all happen? Well, he said, what struck me most, he said, was a young man who's a father, a preacher, and a mother that's a praying woman. And he was in a bad state, and he said to me that the both of us were going to hell. And if we died without the born again, we'd never be in heaven. And he said, I reprimanded him. I told him he was a disgrace. And he said, I could have shook him. But he said, when I went home, I couldn't get it out of my mind. You're going to hell, just like he is. When I got saved, I shook hands with him. Now that's nothing to do with me, but why I tell you that is, because in my mind working and constantly bombarding my thinking was this, Albert, you need to be saved. It's most important. Be urgent about it. Now let me say this. From January the 1st until January the 27th, you know what I said to this world practically? I said, farewell. The only place that I was found until God saved me was over a table with cards in my hand. We were poker players. Some of you don't know what that means, but some do. We rented a little room called in White House, and a man called Bobby Dinnan, and he had a little room at the back. He was a poor man. We gave him so much, and we were in there. So Sunday morning, January the 27th, found me in that room at 10 o'clock. Now, I have to say this. I hadn't got to watch those days. You know, I bought four today. Thing. I thought to myself, I bought four watches today. Now, you say, boy, you must have money. No, they were cheap ones. I'm a wee bit stressed. No, I just bought them for my grandchildren. They were cheap.
But I've seen the day that I hadn't even got a watch in my arm because I couldn't afford it. And anyway, it was around 10 o'clock. I went down there and there were all, if you name them names, it doesn't matter to you. Those 12 of us were playing the poker and the money was in the center and there we are, living it up and playing. About 10:30, it's just like yesterday. Choice? Absolutely. Crisis? Absolutely. I said, boys, I'm finished. I threw the cards down.
I wouldn't have cared if it had been a flush
or four aces. I wouldn't have worried. I threw it down.
I said, boys, I'm finished. Bobby?
Foster put his hand in the tent pocket. Pulled out his wallet and said, you want some money? I said. And then I looked at those boys. I said it very timorously. Do you know what I said to them? I said, boys, I'm going to attend to something that's most important. I said, you know the lad and mother is friends. Now, you know the lad and father is sleeping in the gospel. And I said, I want to get lost on this. You could have felt a quietness come over the room. The cards were put down for a moment. And I said, goodbye, boy. When I left that room, about around 10:30, 11, I went up to the house, went up to my bedroom. No, I didn't have a Bible. I'm going to make that clear to you tonight. I hadn't got a Bible in my hand. You know what I believe? That God's salvation is a miracle.
A miracle.
The greatest miracle under the sun is a person getting God's salvation. That's why I'm firmly convinced salvation of God has to be.
Around about 8 o'clock, I put on my brother's overcoat, Bruce.
He always had a good one. I always had nothing but rags. And it was kind of drizzling that Sunday night, January the 27th, 1957, and I put it on, headed up the road, and I started to think, Albert, almost 21 years, God's trying to say that, speak to you. You're going to hell in your sins.
And I remember going up the road and said, Lord, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it costs. I don't really care. I really want to be saved. I don't want to be in hell, even though I deserve to be. So I walked up the road and amazing, there was a little hut at the side of the road. A mile and a half up. This is called Flockburn. About a mile and a half from where I live. So I walked up the mile and a half at this little hall at a meeting from 8 to 9.
And it's just a little hut, small little place. And I didn't know anything about them there. I didn't know who was preaching even. Didn't even inquire. But I heard them sing. And it attracted me. And so I walked over to the hall, and the windows were open. And I heard them sing, and I stood there, and I said, Lord, I want to be saved. I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell, but how do I get this salvation? And they started to sing these words, Christ receive a sinful man, even me with all my sin. First, for every spot and stain, heaven with him, I'll enter in, sing it o'er, and o'er again, Christ receive a sinful man. Come, and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will save the sinful man. Christ receive a sinful man. And I started to break there. And my emotions were touched. And I remember saying, oh God, I know that Christ died, and I know he has received sinners. And I know those who are saved. And I know they're happy. And I know they're going to heaven. But how would I know he would save me? What happens to tell me? I hear the old preachers when they're up pounding in the gospel. It's not emotions. And it's all coming back to me, flash after flash. It's not in feeling. It's not in emotions. It's not in church. It's not in joining. And it all come before me, but I said, well, how is it then? How does a person know then if it's not feelings? And what I thought I could take as an apple from a tree, God says, no, you come my way.
I left that little hall, but let me tell you, just backtracking a moment, I left that hall, but I heard afterwards because I went to hear them preach. And they told me that Sunday night they were discouraged. And Brother Graham said to Brother Kennedy from Ballyclare, he said, look, he said, there's only six of us here in this hall. And he said, well, nobody to preach to, they're all Christians. Open the window. They're making Sunday passes. Oh, I tell you, God's good. God is good. They put that hall there for me. I don't think anyone else can save to clear me, actually, but I really wasn't saved at their meetings.
But of course, I went on up the road, still in a dilemma. How do you know this thing? How does it happen? Everybody said it's so simple, and it's just a believer. And I tried to believe even. I quoted, he that believeth in the Son, God so loved the world. When I was taught in Sunday school, come back as a mighty child. Treat of a child in the way it shall go. When he's old, it's about to part from him. And when I was taught the mother's knee, and taught with her sweet voice of song, and was taught in the Sunday school, when I heard in the gospel, it all comes back, verse after verse after verse. And there I'm trying and groping and hoping and trying to believe. And I'm trying to figure it out. And the more I try, the darker it becomes. That's the sad point in my experience. Maybe you don't relate to me. Well, forget, don't try to fit yourself in. I come down to two posts that led up to an old schoolhouse, and I remember stopping right there. And I just in my dilemma, in my darkness, and in my ignorance, I said, Lord, I'm going to hell and there's no way out. I tried to believe and I tried even to visualize. And I've quoted the verses. And as Mr. Ramsey said, oh, the horror of that moment when all is dark and there's no hope. And all hope is taken away that we should be saved. Right at that moment, now don't you think it was a flash of lightning? It wasn't. It just come to me this way, Albert, that's why Jesus died. He died to put away your sin. And just at that moment, another verse from the Bible come from it. No Bible. Jesus said, come unto me. I said, thank God he has died for me. I can rest right now. I know Jesus died for me. Now I didn't shout hallelujah, but that was in my heart, hallelujah. And I didn't jump for joy, but my heart jumped for joy. I said, thank God I'll never be in hell. Jesus died for me. Now, I was a heavy smoker, I have to admit that. I don't know why I did it, but God must have helped me. And the moment I said, thank God, Jesus died for me, I'll never be in hell. It's hit in my place. I put my hand in the pocket and I pulled out the players. And I said, I don't need you. You know what happened? That power of the sin. Well now, the rest of the story let me tell you. I went home, and when I got home to the house, I was happy. I went in there, I was thrilled. I remember just before I stepped over the threshold of the door, I said, now, Papa, are you sure? Yes. Are you sure? You never said that, did you? Are you sure? Well, I said, all I have, Lord, is that Christ died for me. And he said, I'll give you rest. And I was just a poor lost sinner, and I trusted what Christ did. I walked over the door, and I was happy, and I looked at my brother Bruce, who was still reading his Bible. He read and read and read and read. I used to wonder why he read. You know, like, what did he get out of the Bible? I mean, he sits in Monday night with the blinds down and all night when there he's reading it. He's his shoes shining that you could look at your face and see them. And his clothes are just immaculate.
you could cut a loaf with the priest.
And he had everything and money. Oh yes, I just said to Bruce sometimes, I'm stuck, could you help me? He said, what are you going to use it for?
Well, I says, don't worry about that, I said, it'll be all right. I says, I'll give you a bag. And I know it was mine.
I suppose you could all have money.
And all the time, boy, didn't hear some time.
I coveted them, used them. Anyway, I remember, and I said, first, could I borrow your Bible?
Boy, did I ever see a Bible come into my lap as quick as the light.
Did you hear? Couldn't get over here. I'd be asking for a Bible. I'd want to have it right here.
Is it here? I was in Newbury. I didn't care whether it was spoken or Newbury. It didn't worry me. I didn't know the difference between. And I remember getting that Bible and I just hugged it to me and I walked into the little bed, into the little living room, locked the door, get down on my knees. I said, oh God, thank you for saving me. I was broken. And I opened the Bible and I don't do that all the time, but I opened it at random. And all I could see, it seemed that, I'm not saying it stood out, but it seemed to be magnified. Oh well, maybe I'll say it stood out.
But now, being made free from sin. And I remember right there, I said, oh God, my sins are gone. Christ has borne them. I never suffer in hell. I'm in heaven.
What a night is. I really didn't shoot that night, really didn't. My mother, you know the old fashioned folks in the house, the only way to do that, the night you open the windows to let the air in, even though it's cold.
And that's the way the Irish people do, they've learned sense and other sense. But anyway, and there she came up to the room and I was lying in the bed and she'd open the windows and let the breeze come in. And I remember lying in my bed looking out and seeing all those old curtains way flat and forward and the breeze coming in. I looked out. If Jesus comes tonight, I'm going. God.
Are you saved?
Are you saved? Have you got salvation? Have you got the transaction done? Have you got the transformation wrought?
Have you got the triumph of the gospel in your soul? Well, I went to work the next day. I didn't tell anyone at home, that was a strange thing, but, you know, I'll tell you why, just very basically why, it was this, because I said, I want to make sure. I've heard people have slandered them, flopped them. I said, I want to make sure, so, I'll keep it within myself, no one can really, you know, and I don't need to tell it. So I went to work. And here I am at the work, and at the break, we'll have a cup of tea, to put it in the cards, and put me out of there. Hand, you know, to play poker. Just for fun, you know, a little money. And I looked at the cards and I looked at them and I said, well, Albert, Christ died for you, go to heaven. You don't need those, do you? No, I don't need those. So I said, boys, just a moment. Just before you start, you know, God saved me last night on the roadside. And I'll tell you the way I put it. I said, I just took it in and trusted Jesus, the one that died. Trust. I love them. I said, I got saved. I said, I don't need them cards. And I had a little preach to them, and their tea was getting cold. That's what I wanted. And there they were, and I started my first preach, and I can see them yet say, well, boys, we'll not have any cards today. Something's gone wrong with Albert up here. Yeah. Excuse me, but that's the way it happened. And I'll never forget, I said, boy, whatever you think, I don't care. I said, I know I'm going to heaven. Yeah.
And then the next day, I thought, I'll go down to the little village of White House, and I'll go down and see what happens there. And all the boys were standing, about 12, 14 of them. And some of them were older than I, some of my best buddies and friends. And I stood there and I said,
then I got cold feet, I was walking across the road to hell.
And I looked at my sister, I suppose they'll fire everything at me. And they'll, you know. And I looked at Dolly, and I looked at Jim McCool, and I looked at Jimmy Rodney, and I looked at Harry Foster, and I looked at all those boys.
Boys, I want to tell you, I got saved on Sunday night. have trusted Jesus, he died for us, and go to heaven. I thought there'd come like a bombardment. Bobby Foster, Billy Foster, come over to me, one of my best friends. He gave me a bear hug. And he didn't get on. He said, Albert, it has changed your life this morning. I said, an answer for that concept.
Now I want to bring it to a conclusion. I had to tell them at home. And there's my dear mother running around, gray hair.
God bless in their mind. All right, and call her blessed in the glory. And I walked home in the Friday and went home for lunchtime instead of taking a lunch in the store where I worked. And she had a bowl of soup and a few biscuits there. I used to say the soup in those days was fairly scarce with vegetables, but anyway, it was all right. And it was set down. And I looked across into her eyes just as I'm looking straight to you. Just like yesterday. Her face was as clear as she was sitting there. I said, Mother, do you see any change in that? She rose from the table. She said, Son, I've prayed for you for years. I noticed the Bible's on your bureau. In the bedroom. I hear you whistling hymns.
And I know you're going to those little meetings up in that little hall up there a mile and a half.
She said, what is that? I said, Mum, God's sake.
I can feel her arms around me.
And the tears coming down her face. Thank God.
Do you know what a meeting this would be?
If some poor lost sinner, tired of sin and tired of folly, and tired of pursuing a path that leads you to hell, that you would make a roundabout turn and turn to Christ tonight and trust him as your Savior.
My friend, I will tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend can do. Not only my friend is at the transaction, on the 27th of January, 1957, I passed from death to life. I was transformed. My friend, I had power over sin.
You power over sin. I'll tell you more than that. We're on the triumphant side, we're more than conquerors.
Listen, friend, you say, man, look, I'm looking into your face tonight. Are you serious? Come on now, forget about church and chapel and the gospel hall and sacraments and all the rest of it. Just stop and ask, do I have Christ? Have I had a meeting with the Lord Jesus? Have I trusted him as my personal Savior? Does he dwell my heart? My soul, my all.
May God bless us, Lord.
Our Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee for Robert's experience, that dramatic, traumatic experience. And O God, we thank thee that thou hast saved him earlier at 9 and blessed him and used him. And brought him through the ordeal that he believes is the hand of God. And thou hast raised him up and trust him to preach the gospel. We thank thee for this, Lord. We bless thee for the joy of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And O God, we pray that our testimony, simple though it is, might be used of the Spirit of God to impress some heart with the reality. And with the fact that what they need is not reformation, is not turning over a new leaf. What they need is vital contact by faith with the Christ that died and rose again. That they might, Lord, not rest tonight until they get it settled. Tomorrow is eternity just hidden from our view. We've often looked back to those young men that we accompanied with. At least 5 of them are in eternity, and we believe none of them left behind a testimony. Oh God, what a mercy, what a miracle it is to be saved. We ask thy blessing as we part in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One verse of the hymn, thanks for your attention and patience, going over. You will forgive us. Sunday night is the last night, Sunday afternoon at 3:30. Remember the meetings. If you're thinking about getting saved, don't put it off. Now, one verse of a hymn and the meeting is complete. 199. We hope that this will be the desire of those not saved. Verse number 4 of 199, that others boast of heaps of gold, Christ for me. His riches never can be told, Christ for me. My portion never can be paid, Christ for me. Verse 4 of 199.